Revelation 19. And yeah, thank you for that. And we are going to be starting in verse, our key verse this morning is verse 6. Let me read it to you. This is what it says. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of many peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let's rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, because the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has prepared herself. Let's pray this aloud together, if you would. Give us faith to receive your word, the understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. I receive it as a beloved child of God, with ears to hear and eyes to see what my Father will show me. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're here this morning. Speak to us a rhema word, a word that's just for us and just for this moment. We're here to receive from you. In your mighty name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated, thank you. So, we are nearing the finish line of our collection from the book of Revelation, and I'm still getting encouragement every week that people are loving the series. I love that. I never really thought that I would be the guy doing the Revelation series, but here we are. And if you've been along for the ride, this collection of talks has been about anything other than end time theories and rabbit trails. It's been all about the revelation of Thank you. It's the revelation of Jesus. That's what the book is about. And so that's what we've been leaning into. And so in Revelation 19, we're coming down to the wire. And we're going to see some fantastic pictures of what's going on. And Jesus is showing us about what is to come. And so let's jump right in. It says in verse 1, after these things, I heard something like. There's our key word that we've seen and we've heard over and over again. Like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Okay, can we all say that together this morning? Can you say hallelujah on three? One, two, three. Hallelujah. Okay, a little bit more spirit, a little bit more oomph. And it says to say it with a loud voice. All right, are we ready? One, two, three. Oh yeah, I can feel the fire. Yes, I've got a fire deep down in my soul. Okay, so interestingly, as we're getting to the end of our scriptures, this is the only place in the New Testament where it says the word hallelujah. That's on your notes if you're taking notes. This is the only place in the New Testament where we see this word, and it actually appears several times throughout our text today. And so we're going to do something this morning. When we get to the hallelujah parts in the scripture, as we're reading along, we're going to do just what we just did, okay? You guys ready for some class participation this morning? All right. You guys ready for that? So when we get to the hallelujahs, you don't need any prompts. You just shout it out, okay? Because it's not a common expression in the New Testament, and neither is it in the book of Revelation. It's only here in chapter 19. Yeah, it's elsewhere in the Old Testament, but this is the only place in the New. And so I'm gonna keep on reading. It says, salvation, glory, and power belong to our God because his judgments are true and righteous. These are important hinges for today. There are about to be some judgments, but we know, we've seen this all throughout the book of Revelation, we know that his judgments are true and they're just. For he is judged the great prostitute. So Babylon, remember in the chapter before, if you were with us, we've seen the great city and all of its allure, and it's pulling people away from the true path of God. But Babylon has now fallen. Babylon has collapsed from the inside, and now there's a celebration that's happening in the heavenlies. So Babylon, she was corrupting the earth with her sexual immorality, and he, the God who is just and true, right? He's true and just, he's righteous, has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. In other words, Babylon wasn't just an alluring city. Babylon was set up against the prophets of God and the saints of God. I keep on reading, it says, and a second time they said, what did they say with a loud voice? Hallelujah. That's pretty good. Why? Because her smoke rises forever and ever. In other words, the city is forever finished. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures, these that we saw in the early part of Revelation, fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying,
Hallelujah.
I'm glad somebody's paying attention. Somebody's like, you didn't say amen. All right, amen. And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. In other words, it doesn't matter in this moment whether you're at the top of the ladder or the bottom of the ladder, if you're the richest, if you're the poorest, if you're the highest, if you're the lowest, it doesn't matter. Everyone is equal now before God. Amen. So give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. And then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters and like the sound of many peals of thunder saying,
Hallelujah.
Yes. I don't think we can quite get up to the rushing water sound that it's saying here, but the loud peals of thunder, hallelujah, but we can shout it. So what this word means, this is what it means, praise Yahweh. Thank you, Sandy, for sharing this morning. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh is a word that the Jewish person, they wouldn't even speak it or write it. And they would replace that with Lord Adonai because Yahweh was considered so holy and so set apart. And now what we're saying is, praise Yahweh, hallelujah. It's Yah hallelujah, Yah Yahweh, praise Yahweh, exclamation point. And notice with all of the hallelujahs, there's an exclamation point there in this chapter, right? This isn't some boring church gathering, okay? This is, I've got a fire deep down in my, you know? It's got some pep. There's praise at the highest level. I love that about Destiny. We've got praise in our DNA. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Exclamation point. I'm just noting that so we can understand that it gets rowdy in heaven. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you. For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let's rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. So now a shift. So we've seen the fall of Babylon. And we've seen the applause for it. Praise God for the fall of Babylon. Praise God that the lost city is finished and the last city is right on the horizon, right? But now a shift happens and we see a new subject that's entering into the praise and the hallelujahs. It says, give glory to him because the marriage of the Lamb has come. I've been waiting for this chapter. This is like the pastor's chapter right here. The wedding of the Lamb has come. Heaven is leaning towards this culminating event. And the culminating event is not necessarily the second coming of Jesus. It's, although it's, you know, it's mentioned in Revelation, of course it's there. Revelation and heaven are culminating with a wedding feast. There's a wedding that's gonna happen, a wedding celebration. And the wedding is the marriage of the Lamb of Jesus Christ himself. He and his bride, the church, he and his bride are gonna come together in a celebration with just eternal ramifications. So, the good news is his bride, who is that? Thank you. It's you. It's you. His bride, you and me, the church, everybody redeemed by him, saved and brought to life by him. His bride has prepared herself. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, exclamation point, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. Amen. And blessed is everybody who got an invitation to the wedding supper of the Lamb of God. Did you get your invitation to the wedding feast of the Lamb? Because it's not just about if you die tonight, you know, do you know if you'd go to heaven? The question is, if your life ends, do you have an invitation to the wedding feast? There's a party. There's a celebration, a wedding feast of the Lamb. Things are shuffling quickly now, aren't they? From all the last few chapters that we've been reading. The last few chapters have been tough for me to plow through. I don't know about anybody else. It's not just about getting out of one destiny and into another destiny. It's about a feast that's gonna happen and a celebration, if you will. A wedding is taking place and you either have an invitation or you do not. And he said to me, this angel, these are the true words of God. And then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brothers and sisters who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So what's that saying? It's saying that this is so spectacular that John gets caught up in the moment and he falls down right in front of the angel. He falls down and there's so much splendor all around him. You know, he gets overwhelmed several times in Revelation, doesn't he? And this happens again a little bit later in Revelation. And the angel's like, no, I'm just the messenger. Worship God. And then we see the page turn again. And it says, I saw heaven opened and behold a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, who's the writer? Jesus. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he has a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses, and from his mouth comes a sharp sword so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. That's quoting from the Psalms. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come gather together for the great supper of God. So we have the marriage supper. We have the marriage supper of the Lamb, but this is a different kind of supper coming now, so that you may eat the flesh of the kings and the flesh of the commanders, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all the people, both free and slaves and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings and the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized. So remember a few chapters back, we saw the dragon, Satan, manipulating the beast of the sea, which represents the political power and authority. And now we see this beast of the earth, the false prophet who is animated now and given power by these systems and these structures of earth. The beast, the system, is captured. And it says, and with him, the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, 666, and the rest were killed, and the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Thanks be to God for the power of your word. So Revelation says of itself, blessed are those who read this word aloud, right? We saw this in Revelation chapter 1, who read this word aloud and those who hear it. Because God wants to open up our understanding today to how things are right now and how things will be forever and ever. And so he's trying to underscore, I believe again, that things aren't the way they seem sometimes to our human eyes. And have us understand today that there's something else going on in the world and in the spirit that's greater. And what's going on in the world and in the spirit that's greater is that Jesus is King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And there is a time now where there will be kings, but only one King of Kings. And there will be lords, but there's only one Lord of Lords. And it's important to note that when we see heaven standing open, I hope you see this every time we open this book. It signifies something significant. In verse 11, it says, I saw heaven opened, and what we see and what John saw is not something, but someone. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true. So when we're digging into Revelation, we're not looking for something. We're not looking for a diagram or a playbook, if you will, of the end times timetable. When we open the book of Revelation, it is, in fact, the revelation of Jesus. And he is the one that we see in the middle of it all. And note again who he is. Yes, he's the one that is calling us to the wedding feast. Yes, he's the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Yes, he's our Savior, but he is fierce in every way. And his name is faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. Now, we've talked about all of this and what that means and the wrath of God and how we hold that as believers. But in other words, if you want a war with God, you're going to get war with God. Yeah, And this chapter ends with a horrific picture. And someone today is going to say, come on, you know, I thought God was a God of love, and I thought God, he was a God of mercy, and I thought he was kind, and I thought, you know, he was a heavenly father. He is. But at the end of it all, he's calling the birds of the air, and he's saying, hey, if you want to eat, come and eat. There's going to be a wipeout here. Why? Because those people want war. And if you want war with God, you're going to get war with God. But he is going to end up King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His eyes are a flame of fire. What does that mean? It means that he's consuming. He's all consuming. The dross is burning away. The stuff is burning away. And on his head are many crowns, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. In other words, we do not know everything there is to know about Jesus. We know enough about Jesus to trust him fully with our lives and follow him with all of it, but we don't know everything about him. He's got a name that he's reserving to this moment that nobody knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. So notice that at this big battle, where the beast and all the kings of the earth are aiming to take out Jesus, they're coming to war with Jesus. And they come to this battlefield. The blood has already been shed. You notice that? The battle has already been won. Because he's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, because the battle was won on Calvary, not on this day. The battle was already won when Jesus gave his life for the sins of the world. He descended into the depths and of the earth, and he beat hell and sin and death and the grave. And he's showing up to this showdown already dripping in blood. And he's saying, the battle isn't going to be won here today, fellas. The battle was already won. How do we know this? Because the armies which are in heaven, did you notice this? They're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. They were following him on white. You don't go out to battle dressed in fine linen, white and clean. If you do that, you're going out to make a statement to a situation where that has already been settled. You're going out to ultimately view the victorious one who's just going to show up. And by his very nature, his truth and his word, that's what's coming out of his mouth, his truth and his word. The sword is the word of God. And by his own word, he's going to finish darkness. And we're riding in wearing linen, white and clean, not because we're going to wield any weapons of war, but because we are riding with the one who has already accomplished the victory. Yeah. Woo-wee. So from his mouth comes a sharp sword so that it may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When I read this or read this in my translation of the scripture, it appears in all caps. I don't know if it does in yours. And so I went and I looked at it in the Greek, and in the Greek, it's all caps. And it says, he has this name written, comma, and then in the Greek, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, all caps. That's the name on his robe and on his thigh. And I thought about that somewhere back in the junior high school recesses of my brain, high school biology. I remember that the femur is the longest and the strongest bone in our body, right? It's the hardest bone to break in your body. And that's where his name is written, on the longest and strongest bone in the body, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His reign is unbreakable. This is our God. And this is who we're worshiping today, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that King and that Lord is inviting you to an intimate relationship with him, whereby he would see you as his bride. So when we see the phrase, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, an image would have been in John's mind right away. And for anyone in the New Testament times, an image would have been in their minds, because weddings happen a little differently than they happen than they do now. And so a wedding would happen like this, and a groom would go to the house of the bride-to-be, and he would purchase her. Sounds a little contractual, I know. It still happens in a lot of parts of the world, but he would ante up and he would purchase the bride. And once that happened, a contract was established and a covenant was entered into. That covenant was sealed with a cup of wine. And as that cup of wine was shared together, it would be spoken in that moment, this is a new covenant. And so then the gentleman, he would leave the bride and return to his father's house. And what would he do? He'd start preparing a place, right? He would build a room in his father's house for his bride, and whom he's contractually married to at this point. Normally it would take somewhere about a year. And when his room was finished, the groom would then get all these festive clothes on and he would announce, I'm gonna go get my bride. And he would take his best man and maybe a couple mates and they would return to the bride's house. And tradition would say that he would come around midnight and they would know, generally speaking, that he's on the way. Word got out. We know that he's coming, he's getting closer. But at about midnight, he'd come and announce, I'm here for my bride. And so the bride would come out and she would light her lamp. She would light her lamp and she would be prepared and ready, because while he's been building the room, she's been getting ready. And now because she's expecting the return, she's found ready. And in that moment, she comes out with her people and there's a big celebration. And now the two, they go back to the father's house, and once they get there, the wedding festival begins in earnest. Everything begins. The wedding supper now is on. Amazing, right? So we have the wedding supper on the horizon, and then we've already had a meal that changed history, the Last Supper. Jesus lifted the cup and the wine, and he said, this is a new covenant. I have purchased you. There's a purchase price. And he raises the wine, right? And then Jesus left and he went to his father's house. We know this. Go to John chapter 14. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to what? Prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again and I will take you to myself so that where I am, there you also will be. And so he's preparing right now a place for you in his father's house. Why? Because he wants you to be with him. It's not about getting a ticket to heaven. He wants you to be with him. If he wanted us to get to heaven, man, the train would have already come around, right? It would arrive, then you'd get seat 16D, and you'd go off. Instead, your groom is—he's coming back in a processional of great festivity to say, at the midnight hour, I'm here for my bride. So the tricky part, and we see it recorded in the Gospels, is that not everyone is going to be ready. It says in the parable of the 10 virgins that half of them fell asleep, right? It took longer than they expected. They ran out of the oil for their lamps. And when the groom came, they couldn't get their lamps lit, so they'd go out off and get some more oil. And by the time that they got back, they didn't make it to the wedding feast. And he says to you and me today, what's the point of Revelation 19? Well, there are many, but Babylon has fallen. There's hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. But now it's time for this wedding feast. And what he's saying is the beast and the false prophet, they're in the lake of fire forever. But what he's really saying to you and me is, here's the key to the whole story. Are you the bride of Christ? And if you are, then in this moment and in the meantime, when we're living right now, you're betrothed to him. You're in an engagement period, if you will, to him. And so that changes the whole conversation. The question Daryl Johnson says, it's all about fidelity. It's an interesting way to think about it, isn't it? It reframes the way we think about how we live our life. Everything now gets reframed Because sin now isn't a bad choice. Sin now is adultery between me and the one who's coming for me. And in this in-between time, are we going to be found unfaithful to Jesus? Are we going to be found faithful to him? It's interesting. We're almost done. If you just allow me to dig just a little bit below the surface, that at the Last Supper, it says in Matthew's gospel that they sang a hymn, and then they went out to the Mount of Olives. So the supper happens, the feet are washed, the bread is broken, the wine is lifted, and then they sang a hymn. What did they sing? Well, they sang one of the hallelujah hymns, Psalm 113 and 114 and 115, 16, 17, 18. These are the Passover psalms celebrating God's deliverance of the people out of Egypt. And so in 113 and 14 were sung before, generally, the Passover meal was eaten, and 15, 16, 17, 18 were sung after the meal was consumed. So Jesus and his followers would have sung one of those four psalms, or all four of them, before they went out. And one of those psalms, well, actually all of those psalms are halal psalms. What does that mean? They're hallelujah songs. They're hallelujah, praise Yahweh. Hallelujah, 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 praise Yahweh. And these songs don't come back into the story as we unfold the New Testament account until right here. Revelation 19, from being sung after the Last Supper now to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. The price is paid. Hallelujah. A contract is sealed. Hallelujah. I'm gonna go to my Father's house and prepare a place for you. Hallelujah, I'm coming back. I'm coming at the midnight hour, but don't fall asleep on me because I'm coming for my bride. And I'm coming to take her to the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's a forever celebration of the price paid, the purchase paid for the one I love. And I'm underscoring to you today that I'm not looking for members. I'm not looking for church members. I'm not looking for attenders. I'm not looking for givers. And hello, I'm not looking for even volunteers to work in the, I'm not looking for workers. Yes, the laborers are few. So, you know, go out into the fields and yes, give and be generous. And yes, you know, come and show up. But God's not looking for church members. He's not looking for church attenders. He's not looking for tithe givers. He's not looking for even for door holders and workers. He's looking for lovers. Amen. And he's looking for you. And he shed his blood for love. And he's coming back. Why? Go back to our scripture in John. It says to take you. Please see this with me. It says to take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will also be. Did you know that at the heart of it all, God made you for relationship with him? That's what's at the heart of it all. So don't let the great lost city steal you away from the Lamb of God. The beast and the false prophet, they're done. The last city, it's done. But what's lifted up for us today is a wedding feast. So make yourself ready and keep your lamp burning. So really quickly, the last four things, they're already on your notes, except for the number two, the call to readiness. What do we want to go home with today? Number one, keep your lamp burning and your heart faithful. We did a whole message on this one morning. What's the lamp? It's our intimacy. It's our relationship with Jesus. That's what lights that fire. I hope some people are here on Sunday morning to pray for the service, to help just fan that flame, that kindling, that there is something that needs to happen in our relationship with God where it's just, we can't spend enough time with him because he's so, so good. And we want to hear his voice and we want to be directed by his voice and we want to hear his voice and then do what he says. Amen. It's relationship. And he's speaking, he wants to speak his heart to us. So that's keeping your lamp ready. Number two, the oil in our lamps represents our intimacy with Jesus. I guess that's just what I said. When the groom returns, only love will have kept the flame alive. God isn't looking for members, attenders, or workers. He's looking for lovers. And we were made not just for heaven, but for him. Amen. We've got time. I want to close with this song. I'm going to ask my bride, to come up and sing. And I just want this to be a reflective time. I have always, always, always loved this song. And can we just hit the lights and just make it just kind of an intimate moment as we just close out this time this morning?
Can't get enough. I can't get enough. Your amazing love. I can't get enough. I can't walk away. Can't walk away. I have seen your face. I can't walk away. And I just want to be where you are. I just want to be near your heart. Nothing like your love. There is nothing like your love. Ooh. Jesus, I love you.
Again, thank you guys. Isn't the God that we serve good? I'm gonna get a kiss over here before. Isn't my bride beautiful as well? Yeah, thank you. Oh, we serve a holy, holy God, and as we just come and we come to the last few weeks of Revelation, I hope you sense that this whole time, the whole book has been all about the revelation of Jesus and who he is. And now we're getting to the wedding feast. We're getting to the part where my pastor's heart can say, yes. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done and you've prepared for us. And, you know, sometimes it's weird for us as guys to jump into this picture. But it's a picture of a God that is so big and so good, and he's just preparing a place for us. And there's something about that that just makes my heart want to leap, that he has good plans for you here this morning. He is preparing a place for you. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Father God, we just thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you that we get to spend it with you and with our brothers and sisters in this place. And God, we just bless this time and this moment right now. Thank you for your word. Sometimes, you know, we have just a glimpse of all that is coming, but thank you for that glimpse. Thank you for this picture of heaven. Thank you for the wedding feast that is coming, the celebration that is coming, that you are preparing a place for us. And it's not just about a ticket to heaven. It's not just about getting out of one destination and getting to another. It's all about you. So God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this place where you've put us. Thank you for Destiny Foursquare Church and all that you are just burning in our hearts and doing. God, I pray that those embers would be flared up, God. And we just pray that your word to us this morning would do something inside of us, that we walk out of here different today as a result of hearing your word and being inspired by your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we just, if you're willing, just to be in a place of just a posture of just receiving his word this morning, can we say, God, use us. God, use us. God, move in us. God, put that picture in my heart and my mind that my heart, my bent, my life is going to be lived in such a way that I am fueling the lamp. I have my oil ready. I'm fanning into flame, Lord. I'm going to be a bride that is ready, a bridegroom that is ready. Thank you, Lord. Do that in us. Stir up that flame. Stir up that ember. Thank you, Lord. In your mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, before we leave, just want to ask you, saints are going to pray right now, and we're going to just invite Holy Spirit into this moment, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you have not received Jesus, if you've not followed him with your life, we want to give you an opportunity. This is what we're here for. He's the banner that we wave. He's the one that we serve. He's the revelation is all about him. And if you know him, he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The enemy's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy, but he's come to give us life and life abundantly, and I want that for every single one of us in this room. If you want to say yes to that this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, we just want to give you that opportunity. Would you raise your hand? And we just want to agree and we want to pray with you this morning. Maybe it's a re-surrender for some of you. We want to give you that opportunity as well. If you're watching online, I hope you're thinking about this opportunity. Well, I believe Holy Spirit's already been stirring it in you. So if that's you, thank you, Lord. Is anybody? Anybody this morning? Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this all together. Father God, thank you for this day. I want to lean in with my life to all that you have for me. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your life that came to be a rescue for me. You were dead, buried, risen again, so that my life could be resurrected with you. Thank you for new life. I just want to shout, hallelujah. We give you all the praise. In your name we pray. Amen.